Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharne Niravishesha Shunyavadi Pastyachadesh Tarne Shri Krishna Chaitanya Pramanityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivas Adi Gauravaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vajkalpaturubhyascha kripa sindubhya evacha. Patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sri Brihad Bhagavatamrita ki jai. Srila Sanatan Goswami ki jai, Gaur Premanande. So devotees, if you remember, last night we left off, we're still in Shiva Loka. Lord Shiva has explained why he feels he is not the greatest, the recipient of the greatest mercy of the Lord. Then he's explained how he feels the Vaikuntha Vasis are, the residents of Vaikuntha. Then his wife, Parvati, sort of interjects, and says, you know, of all the Vaikuntha Vasis, the best one, the one who has got the most mercy from the Lord is Lakshmi Devi. So we finished off there last night with Parvati speaking for maybe it was about six verses or something like that, why Lakshmi Devi is the best. Well, Krishna. Oh, that was something strange happened. Anyway. Yeah, why Lakshmi Devi is the best and has received the most mercy from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we finished off then. The last verse we read was, let me just check. Oh, Krishna, where was it? Well, I guess we can... Yeah, we can start off, I think, with verse 71. Because now... Yeah. Narada, having heard from Parvati, wanted to go and visit Lakshmi Devi and glorify her. You know the program. You know the program by now. So he wanted to do that. And he's just about to leave when Lord Shiva takes him aside and says a few things. So let's begin with verse 71. Sri Mahesh said, my dear Narada, because of your eagerness to see the dearest devotees of Krishna, you have lost your memory. Don't you remember that the Lord of Vaikuntha is living right now on earth in Dwaraka? Because this is all happening 5,000 years ago. When Lord Krishna was present. Yes, So it's an interesting point that Narada already knows. Narada knows that Krishna is present in Dwarika with Queen Rukmini, and Satyabhama is there, and so on and so forth. Narada Muni knows. And it would be a lot easier visiting someone in Dwarika on planet Earth than having to go to Vaikuntha. Although Narada can do it, it's not that hard for him, but still it would be much easier. Just go to Dwarika. It's compared to going to Vaikuntha, it's more or less just down the road a little way, something like that. Yeah, but what has happened, and this, it's very interesting. What has happened is that a hearing about Vaikuntha, and, yeah, well, hearing about Vaikuntha and the presence of the Lord there and the devotees there, like Lakshmi Devi and so on. Narada Muni, having heard all these things from Lord Shiva, he's become completely enraptured, captured by this idea of Vaikuntha and Lord Narayan and Lakshmi. Oh, that he's forgotten about Dwarika, which he already knew about. So this is a very interesting point, that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is so attractive, that when you hear almost anything about him, you'll forget about everything else. This is Krishna consciousness. And this is what we need to do, because we have the tendency to become attracted by material life, of course, as you know. We find it, we can find it, or certain parts of it, very attractive. But if we really become attracted, if we really hear very nicely practically anything to do with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but we have to do it very nicely and become absorbed, then we'll just forget about even the best things on the material level, so-called best. But here, Narada Muni has forgotten about Krishna and Rukmini and Satyabhama through hearing about Vaikuntha and how wonderful and beautiful and the place is, and the devotees are just so amazing. So, okay, so now, verse 72. Lord Shiva is trying to stimulate Narada that go on, just go to Dwarika. Don't worry about going to Vaikuntha, it's a long way. Just go down to Dwarika, it's nearby. So, verse 72. Rukmini is the supreme goddess of fortune herself, and Krishna is the original personality of Godhead. Rukmini's partial incarnations accompany Lord Vamana and the other avatars of the Lord. Well, okay. Yes, that's an interesting point. Queen Rukmini is the supreme goddess of fortune herself. Who's that? That's the same Mahalakshmi who Parvati was talking about. You should go to Vaikuntha and there see Mahalakshmi because she's the greatest. She's the most wonderful. And she has received the greatest mercy from the Lord. So Rukmini's just nearby in Dwaraka. And she is the same Mahalakshmi who Parvati is saying you must go and see. More important than seeing anybody else in Vaikuntha is to see Lakshmi or Mahalakshmi. But she's right there in Dwaraka. You hardly have to go anywhere. Yes. So, so then here in the verse, Lord Shiva makes the point that, well, if Narada says that Mahalakshmi really never leaves the side of the Supreme Lord, so it would be better to see her in Vaikuntha. Lord Shiva says that whenever the Lord appears in different forms like Lord Vamana, then Mahalakshmi is there also. Rukmini's partial incarnations means Mahalakshmi's partial incarnations. So the original goddess of fortune, Mahalakshmi, the greatest devotee of the Lord in Vaikuntha, has descended to Dwaraka as Queen Rukmini. Verse 73. Rukmini is the perfectly complete divine consort of the complete personality of Godhead. She always serves at Sri Krishna's lotus feet. So there's an interesting little point there. I mean, at least a point we should understand is that here Lord Shiva is saying that look, Rukmini, who's nearby, is the same Mahalakshmi. You know, you want to go see Mahalakshmi and meet her in distant Vaikuntha, just go down, visit Rukmini, because she's the same Mahalakshmi. However, an interesting point is that Rukmini is not just the same Mahalakshmi from Vaikuntha, the consort of Lord Narayan, but Rukmini is the source of Mahalakshmi. Rukmini is the source. She is the original consort. She's the original Mahalakshmi. And she's not just from Vaikuntha. She's actually from Goloka, which is considerably higher than Vaikuntha. So, go down, visit her down in Dwaraka. It's your great chance to meet someone, not just from Vaikuntha, although that would be pretty good anyway, but not just from Vaikuntha. You can meet someone from Goloka, one of the original sources of these many different forms of the goddess of fortune. So now, from verse 74, let's see. From verse 74, From verse 74, Lord Shiva, as Narada, is just about to take off for Vaikuntha to visit Mahalakshmi and just appreciate her great fortune, Lord Shiva quietly, very quietly, takes Narada Muni aside to a place, around the corner, something like that, a place where Parvati will not see Lord Shiva advising Narada Muni. Because now Lord Shiva is going to advise Narada Muni, don't worry about Lakshmi so much. You must visit Prahlad in Vaikuntha. You're going to Vaikuntha, you want to meet the best devotee who's got the greatest mercy from the Lord. Go find Prahlad. But he wants to do it quietly without Parvati seeing, because Lakshmi and Parvati are close friends, and if Lord Shiva advises against the advice of Parvati, Parvati may be upset with him. This is the idea. It's a transcendental politics and diplomacy going on. Okay, so verse 74. So sit down, my dear Brahman, and I shall whisper in your ear a great secret. Please hear this with absolute confidence. Wow. So, yeah. So, because Krishna, the original Lord, and his original consort are on earth, Narada should put aside his eagerness to go running after Vaikuntha, and basically Lord Shiva's telling him, listen, just relax, all right? Just take it easy, because I've got something special to tell you. Sort of like when you got a nice cake, the cherry on top is just some special little thing. So, the purport says, what Lord Shiva wishes to say should not be heard by everyone, not even by his personal associates. He wants to whisper it into Narada's ear, thus avoiding the possibility of displeasing Parvati, who is a close friend of Mahalakshmi. Verse 75. So now Lord Shiva's continuing. There is a greater recipient of Krishna's mercy than your father, me, and other servants like Garuda, and even than the goddess of fortune. Yes. A greater recipient of Krishna's mercy than any of these people, including the goddess of fortune. His name is Prahlad. He is famous throughout the world as the dearmost devotee of Krishna. Okay. Let's just read the purport here. Do not expect to fulfill your intentions by visiting Dwaraka just now, Lord Shiva is telling Narada. there is a devotee in this world even greater than the Supreme Goddess of Fortune, and that is Prahlad. Before going anywhere else, you should visit him. Because Prahlad's devotion to the Supreme Lord is so deep, he is exceptionally dear to the Lord. He is greater than all the Lord's servants in Vaikuntha, including Garuda and Vishvaksena, and even Lakshmi Devi herself. 76. Surely you haven't forgotten the Supreme Lord's words about this? You must have read them in the Puranas and must remember the following verse. Verse 79. This is actually Srimad Bhagavatam 9.4.64. Without saintly persons, for whom I am the only destination, I do not desire to enjoy my transcendental bliss or my supreme opulences. So, yeah, this is the Lord speaking to Devasa Muni, who had been a real nonsense and cursed Maharaj Ambarish. And in the purport, it said, the personality of Godhead derives great satisfaction from his pure devotees on the earth and elsewhere. And in contrast, he is not as much attracted to his own consort in Vaikuntha or the imperishable opulences she creates for his pleasure. Nor is he as much attracted by his own beauty. So now here in the purport, the devotees quote verses from that same sequence, 9.4.64. Anyway, let me read a few of the translations of these verses, expressing, in which the Lord himself expresses how dear the devotees are to him. So this is now verse 63, then verse 66. I am completely under the control of my devotees. Indeed, I am not at all independent. Because my devotees are completely devoid of material desires, I sit only within the cause of their hearts. What to speak of my devotees? Even the devotees of my devotees are very dear to me. And 66. As chaste women bring their gentle husbands under control by service, pure devotees who are equal to everyone and completely attached to me in the core of the heart bring me under their full control. That's amazing. The Lord is saying the devotees, if they're on this level, bring him under their full control. And also quoted, here's another verse from the Bhagavatam, very nice. 11.14.15. My dear Uddhava, neither Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Lord Sankarshan, the goddess of fortune, nor indeed my own self, are as dear to me as you. And there's an interesting note here from Sanatan Goswami, from his purport. Let me just read it. Srila Sanatan Goswami comments that Sri Krishna in this verse from the Bhagavatam meant to make the general statement that no one else is as dear to him as his pure devotees. But because Krishna became so ecstatic thinking about the specific glories of his devotees, instead of saying, "my devotee," he unintentionally said, "you, Uddhava." Verse 78. The Lord's divine personal form is the source of all the demigods, including me, and gives great pleasure to his devotees. But the Lord considers his own body worthless compared to the value of his devotees. Who is fit to praise the Lord's devotees? You know, I think we all need to think about that a little. The Lord's devotees are just very, very special, and even more, that they're really more special than we can imagine at this point. We said on Sunday afternoon, we were giving a class, and we referred to I think it's chapter 8, if I remember correctly, of Madhya Leela of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya's meeting with Ramananda Roy. And I won't go through all the details, but in this particular regard, the point I want to note is that towards the later part of that whole discussion, Lord Chaitanya asks Ramananda Roy, "What is the most painful thing?" And Ramananda Roy immediately answers that, except for separation from the devotee of the Lord, I do not know any painful thing. Yes. In fact, you know what I'm going to do? I want just to read that verse, just so we get it right. It's actually slightly different from what I said. I mean, just very slightly. So yes, it's Madhya Leela chapter 8. And the verse is, I think, verse 247. No, 248. Yeah. 248. Madhya Leela, chapter 8, verse 248. Dukkha Madhye Kona Dukkha Haya Guru Tara Krishna Bhakta Viraha Vina Dukkha Nahi Deki Para. Amazing. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked, "Of all kinds of distress, what is the most painful?" Sri Ramananda Roy replied, "Apart from separation from the devotee of Krishna, I do not know of any unbearable unhappiness." We may not have realized that. You know, sometimes some devotees upset us or something like that, and we get a negative attitude towards them. But actually we shouldn't. We really shouldn't. Because even if they're kind of eccentric or strange or something, at least they're devotees. Yeah. You know, sometimes, of course, we have to reject some devotee from the association of devotees if their association is really detrimental for the other devotees. But that's very unusual. Sometimes it happens, and we have to, well, reject some devotee very reluctantly. We definitely don't want to. Okay. So now we just read how Prahlad is the dearmost devotee in Vaikuntha. And of course there's some things we can say about that. Let's read the next verse, though, 76. Surely you haven't forgotten the Supreme Lord's words about this. You must have read them in the Puranas and must remember the following verse. Oh, well, yeah, okay. We just read it. Without saintly persons, for whom I am the only destination, I do not desire to enjoy my transcendental bliss or my supreme opulences. So again, this is the Lord speaking to Devasamuni. It's 9.4.64. We just read it. And it's spoken by the Lord to Devasa to show the greatness of the devotees in general. Let's just read. The personality of Godhead derives great satisfaction from his pure devotees on the earth and elsewhere. And in contrast, he is not as much attracted to his own consort in Vaikuntha or the imperishable opulences she creates for his pleasure. Nor is he as much attracted by his own beauty. Yeah. The Lord's divine personal form is the source of all the demigods, including me, and gives great pleasure to his devotees. But the Lord considers his own body worthless compared to the value of his devotees. Who is fit to praise the Lord's devotees? It's truly amazing. Truly amazing. Right. So, In the opinion of the Lord, his own opulence and sweetness, unworthy of attention compared to the greatness of his pure devotees. Who can adequately glorify the unalloyed Vaishnavas? No one. 79. Moreover, among those countless devotees, Prahlad stands out as the example of perfection. The Lord himself has described him in this way. Prahlad's good fortune is inconceivable. So, you know, I want to just, I don't know. Okay. Anyway, now as we go on, I'll talk about it. So here then, in this verse, the point is being made that Prahlad, why is he so dear? Why has he got so much mercy, which makes him and his position more outstanding than someone like Garuda or even Lakshmi Devi herself? So the reason is, what it is about Prahlad which makes him so special is that Prahlad's surrender is especially complete. And this gives him a devotional position superior to that of such pure devotees as Shesha and Garuda. And practically, his position is unique. At least in Vaikuntha. Wait till we get to Goloka, then it all becomes another thing. But here's a verse from the Bhagavatam, 7.10.21. Lord Nrisimhadeva is speaking. Those who follow your example will naturally become my pure devotees. You are the best example of my devotees. And others should follow in your footsteps. Verse 80. When the Lord tore apart Hiranyakashipu, I, all the demigods and the goddess Lakshmi, witnessed with our own eyes the incomparable good fortune of Prahlad. Yes. Well, that, of course, that's what I was going to mention. That in the seventh canto, where the story of Lord Nrisimhadeva and Prahlad and Hiranyakashipu is discussed, then, of course, there's the very famous incident that when Hiranyakashipu was now already dead and his body's just lying there, and the soldiers of Hiranyakashipu, they've also been killed by Lord Nrisimhadeva. So then, Lord Nrisimhadeva was still very angry and moving his arms and his claws around. And the great devotees who were present, like Lakshmi Devi, she was there. Like Lord Brahma, like Lord Shiva, they were all there. And they're all great devotees. And generally, they're very dear to the Lord. But while Lord Nrisimhadeva was still in that wildly angry mood, they didn't dare approach Nrisimhadeva. Because they're afraid, you know, he's moving his arms around and his claws, they were afraid he's just going to sort of give them one swat and they'd be destroyed. But what they did do, what they did to, it's a bit of a nasty thing almost. You could easily say it's a nasty thing. They wouldn't go forward, but they told Prahlad, you go. And they pushed him forward. Go on, you go to him. And Prahlad did. And even though the Lord was still in such a mood, but Prahlad just walked straight up to him and gave him a nice garland. Of course, the Lord already had a garland of Hiranyakashipu's intestines. Haribo. It's all a bit radical. But Prahlad gave him like a fresh, regular garland, nice one. And then the Lord became pacified. He took Prahlad, put his arm around Prahlad, patted him on the head, had him sit on his lap. So in other words, Prahlad's devotional potency, Prahlad's love, was so great that it penetrated through the anger of Lord Nrisingadev and reached his heart and pacified him so that Nrisingadev became peaceful and just very loving and affectionate to Prahlad. And then the demigods approached. Yes. So Lord Shiva here, this is verse 80, Lord Shiva is presenting this to make the point that, you see, it's Prahlad. Prahlad is the dearest devotee. Prahlad has received more mercy than anyone else. And this pastime of his approaching Nrisingadev proves it clearly. So, don't you see? That's basically what he's saying. That it's proof, objective proof. Lakshmi Devi couldn't approach Nrisingadev. Prahlad easily approached him. So therefore, it's clear that Prahlad is more special and more dear to the Lord than even Lakshmi. And, you know, Shesha Garuda and all these people. So Lord Shiva continues, Lord Vishnu several times tried to offer him boons, but Prahlad refused to ask to be liberated. Instead, he chose only pure devotion. I bow down before him. So that's a famous point. That Prahlad was refusing material things. He only wanted to be able to love the Lord. And there's a verse quoted here from Vishnu Purana. That's interesting. Vishnu Purana, 1st Canto, chapter 20, verse 38. This is Prahlad speaking to Nrisingadev in Vishnu Purana. O Master, in all the thousands of births through which I must wander in this world, please let me have unfailing devotion to you, the infallible Supreme Lord. And Prahlad's readiness to be born again thousands of times means he's not at all interested in liberation. Okay. 82 and 83. So Lord Shiva continues. My dear sage, Bali violated spiritual etiquette by disobeying the order of his spiritual master and failing to be true to his own words. Still, as we know, the Lord agreed to become the guard at Bali's door. Was that simply the fruit of Bali's insignificant charity? The Lord also granted protection to the wicked Bana. Was that the result of my offering the Lord prayers? This is Lord Shiva feeling some confusion about the part that he may have played, in the Lord giving special mercy. The Lord granted protection to the wicked Bana, Banasura. Was that the result of my offering the Lord prayers? Because Banasura was a devotee or follower, whatever you'd call, of Lord Shiva. Yes. Let me just read some things from the purport. It's interesting. Because the personality of Godhead blessed Bali Maharaj by becoming his doorkeeper, someone might suggest that Bali received more mercy than Prahlad. But according to Lord Shiva, this is not true. Rather, Lord Vishnu favored Bali only because Bali was Prahlad's grandson. Fighting for the demons against the demigods, Bali overturned the law of the universe set by Lord Brahma that the demigods should rule heaven, the demons the subterranean Patala Loka. By invading heaven, usurping the throne of Indra, and awarding the posts of various demigods to demons, Bali violated this natural order. Bali also disobeyed specific instructions from his spiritual master, Shukracharya. Shukra warned Bali not to give anything to Vamanadev, even though Bali had offered Lord Vamana his choice of gifts in charity. By committing the worst possible crime of denying one's spiritual master's order, Bali earned Shukracharya's curse. Srila Shukadeva Goswami describes this in the Bhagavatam 8.20.14. The spiritual master Shukracharya, inspired by the Supreme Lord, cursed his exalted disciple Bali Maharaj, who was so magnanimous and fixed in truth that instead of respecting the spiritual master's instructions, he wanted to disobey them. Okay. All right. So Lord Shiva's asking, was it because of my prayers that Lord Krishna excused Bana for all his nonsense? Lord Shiva insists, of course not. Only because of Prahlad's pure devotion did Lord Krishna deliver Bana. Offenses against Vaishnavas, such as those Bana committed, can be absolved only by the Vaishnav's mercy. It was by Prahlad's grace that his grandson Bali and great-grandson Bana were dealt with favorably by the Lord. The only reason the Lord pardoned them for their offenses and elevated them was to please Prahlad. Isn't that amazing? That's really an amazing analysis. So there's only three verses left. I think we'll read them tomorrow, because they got big purports, particularly one. Okay, so we will read on tomorrow night from verse 84. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.